right, since the hat got over yesterday pretty good, we kept it for a second night in a row. Good evening, everybody. It's July 3rd, 2023. Welcome to your WWE post-Raw show. I am Don Tony. As always, you know, before we go any further, I want to give a shout-out to someone's in the chat right now, Nick Augenbaugh. Hopefully I pronounced your name right. He's tuning in for a little escape. The love of his life, Allie, recently passed away a few days ago. And yesterday's sit-down episode, we were talking about the birthday of Terry Funk. And that picture came out yesterday, and it broke my heart to see one of my all-time favorites, not only in wrestling, but life in general. You know, my favorite pro wrestler of all time since the mid-80s, to see someone become mortal. And yesterday, sit down, we went from a lot of wrestling discussion to some real hard life, you know, just dealing with mortality. And, man, you know, talk about why I even do this. I do this for escapes as well, so if I could take your mind off of anything, and that goes out to anybody out there, I know I'm doing my job. And, you know, I want to thank everybody as well, because I woke up today to a few emails. And I get emails all the time, but a few people were bringing to my attention that, you know, over the last week, as far as the shows go, yeah, we're surrounded by royalty. I mean, to be in line with, you know, Matt Hardy, Renee Paquette, Eric Bischoff, you know, just all the podcasts, Dutch Mantel, Sam Roberts, Jeff Jarrett, you know, to see the numbers going up. And there's one reason behind it. I mean, there's a couple of reasons behind it. But at the end of the day, we keep it real here. We keep it fun. We don't bitch about everything, and we tell things straight up. Sometimes being honest and straight up is quite boring, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's what people are really looking for. I know in this awful world, in a lot of places, we see everything that goes on social media. I know, you know, fantasizing and believing things that you know just aren't true is an easy way to go, but sometimes you need the hard truth. And that's why I always keep it real here. And I know it's not the most popular formula. It never will be. But at the end of the day, you know, respect, I think, is number one. Giving you accurate news, discussion, opinions. I don't think opinions could be accurate. Yeah, if they happen. But, you know, I think you deserve that. And, you know, the fact that you tune in is so much respect given to me as well. I kind of owe you. So for those who celebrate, happy 4th of July, which will be tomorrow. And I got some good news and I got some bad news as far as my shows go. The bad news is that Kev and I are not doing a Money in the Bank recap and review after all. It is the 4th of July holiday. He has to work. He's going to spend it with family tomorrow, as I. And yes, I will be home in time tomorrow night for Patreon, which is not until 10 p.m. But during the day, we're both going to be out. The good news is that next Tuesday, July 11th, Kevin and I will be back once again. In fact, we're planning a special episode at the end of July that's going to be a Q&A interactive with everybody. Anybody that sees or hears what I'm saying, you could be part of it. So we are going to do a huge live stream. And I tell you the truth, I'm actually thinking about doing this as well. The family of Darren Drozdoff posted a statement in addition to what they said over the weekend, which we talked about on Saturday. And we talked a little bit yesterday as well. But in lieu of flowers for Darren Drozdoff, they're asking everyone out there if they want to make a donation to the Darren Drozdoff Scholarship Fund. And for those that don't have video that is listening by audio, if you want to make a contribution, you could mail it to Darren Drozdoff Scholarship Fund in care of Rami, R-O-M-M-I, Drozdoff. Address is 428 Highland Drive, Mays Landing, New Jersey, 08330. We might do a little live stream in the very near future with all of the contributions going to the scholarship fund. Anybody that goes back to what we do to even the early 2000s, there was a point where Draz was a fan of the show, enjoyed what we did going back to even the days of the Minority Report. And, yeah, you know, just really sucks to see someone pass away, not only because of what he went through, but because I'm close to his age. And yes, he went through a lot more trauma to his body, but that just goes to show you, man, it could happen to anybody at any time. Look at how we opened up with the show. So, you know, just, you know, we'll give you further information later on in the upcoming week. But tonight's Raw, a hell of a fun one. You know, to be honest, I mean, was there really any down point of Raw tonight? I think everything hit. My God, I'm shocked to shit that they gave that much time to Natalya versus Rhea Ripley. I know some of you were saying tonight, that is what we should have had in Saudi Arabia. But no, I think this was better. Because if that would have happened in Saudi Arabia, there would have been no storyline attached to it. The storyline was Natty thinks that maybe she don't have it anymore. I personally think after watching this match tonight, even in defeat, storyline purposes, Natty still has it. She's got enough in the tank. And that may lead to another storyline because she may cut a promo talking about, you know what, even though I lost, I gave it to Rhea like no one else, and I still have it. And then somebody could show up, mock her, and you go from there. So I was surprised. And I will say this, though, because I took notice, and I'm sure a lot of you took notice as well. Even though Natty was really, really putting on a performance with Rhea Ripley, if you paid attention to that crowd, let's go Rhea, let's go Rhea, the crowd was heavily behind Rhea Ripley. Even with the tribute to Dom Dom. And by the way, you know, I didn't know that they did this, but for anybody that's into like classic rock or the Beatles, and I couldn't resist. Today I had a little bit of free time. I did a little bit of photoshopping. Anybody out there that's ever tuned into the Beatles, this actually look a little better. I have on the screen right now the album cover for Abbey Road. And you see the street, you see the walkway. And over the years, a lot of bands, a lot of people have, you know, tried to, you know, pay tribute to the Beatles by reenacting this album cover. If you look at, is that Paul McCartney without shoes on? Second to the left, I think that is Paul McCartney without shoes on. But that's the album cover. So the Judgment Day, when they were in London, they actually did that pose in the very same spot. And I had to Photoshop it. So I'm going to show you the preview for Saturday's show. And I think I did a pretty damn good job. I mean, look, that's where, because I had to Photoshop the briefcase. And yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Judgment Day. Tried to use the same font if you see like the Beatles, Abbey Road, Judgment Day, Road to SummerSlam. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more. And as you saw tonight on Raw, we talked about it yesterday, that Finn Balor and Damian Priest, the fighting, the arguing, and the briefcase will now be a storyline. We talked about it in detail yesterday. And what happened tonight is exactly what we expected. Are we going to see Finn Balor versus Damian Priest at SummerSlam? No, way too soon. WrestleMania is still a possibility, even though it is a long ways away. How do you milk that dissension for 8 months? Think about it. August, September, October, November, December, January. No, no way. No way does that go 9 months. Maybe there's a, you know, a split, and then there's a little. Remember Dominic and Ray? Remember when they split? That they were going to feud, and then for a couple of months, they were totally split apart. And then when it got closer to WrestleMania, you know, fight me, Dad. Fight me. Fight me. You're a deadbeat dad. And then that led. So we might see something similar with Finn Balor and Damian Priest. 9 months is an awful long time. Brock Lesnar, today. Yesterday, I posted the thumbnail, and I showed Brock Lesnar. A lot of people are like, why are you putting Brock Lesnar on a Raw preview? You know, he's not advertised. I did a little digging. And what I was trying to do, I was trying to find the July schedule for Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Cody Rhodes. We did that last month. Everybody appreciated it because they knew what shows everybody was going to be on. But as I was coming across those schedules, I noticed that Brock Lesnar has been announced publicly by WWE to appear today, to appear on the 17th of July, and to appear on the 31st of July. So we kind of expected Brock Lesnar to appear today, and he did. I don't know how I felt about the beginning, you know, just showing up for no reason. I mean, it's reason, obviously, but it just seemed a little bit lacking of something. But now for 2 weeks, we will be teased. Cody will issue the SummerSlam challenge. Brock will not be there next week. The week after, Brock will likely show up and accept. And then 2 weeks after, we'll have the contract signing. And then there you go, SummerSlam. But, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, he pissed off. I was surprised how many people he pissed off in the press conference yesterday, or Saturday, for the Money in the Bank post-show. Their press media scrum that they did. For those that didn't see it, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on a sit-down. Cody said that winning the World Heavyweight Championship is not finishing the story. And, you know, people take that too seriously. Oh, he has no respect for this championship, and that makes Seth look ridiculous. No, it doesn't. The reason why people don't like that answer is because they have been listening to the noise out there that Jey Uso should defeat Roman, Solo Sikoa should defeat Roman, that Sami Zayn should have beat him at Elimination Chamber. You know, Cody will finish the story. As I said yesterday, he will finish the story. Stop trying to change the story. WWE doesn't have a comment box. You could do it on social media. You could voice your opinion. You could do podcasts. You could do rants. You could capitalize stuff. You could curse. You could use emojis. You could retweet. You could get 1,000 people to retweet you as well. WWE will take it into consideration. But they're not going to have in a creative meeting, hey, Kevin, did you see blah, 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 social media? You got 7,000 likes. He thinks we should go with this. What do you think? No, they're not going to listen. They know what they're doing. They already have said, you know, oh, there's internal noise. WWE Creative is considering giving a briefcase to Logan Paul. That's been decided months ago. So you got, as long as you stop paying attention to the noise that wants you to believe things that just aren't true, it's clearer to see it the way that it is. And, you know, Cody will end up finishing the story. He's got to get through Brock Lesnar, and then what? Does Cody kind of throw salt on the wounds of the bloodline? Because this Friday on SmackDown, we have the Tribal Court, the trial of the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Remember, we had the trial of Sami Zayn. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I'm not going to knock it because everything that they have done with the bloodline, like 97% of it has been superb, excellent, very good, whatever category you want to put it in. So I don't doubt that the segment Friday is going to be great. But the big question right now is, who faces Roman at SummerSlam. It goes one of three ways, obviously. It's either Roman Reigns takes on Jey Uso. Roman Reigns could end up taking on the Usos in a three-way, which I don't know how I feel about that, because I don't think you want Jimmy and Jay kind of like fighting, even for a brief moment, because one wants to beat Roman over the other. Then the wild card is something that Kevin and I talked about last week. At some point, you almost feel like they got to do the fatal four-way. Roman versus Solo versus Jay versus Jimmy. All four men fighting for Roman's championship. I think the seeds were planted on Friday when Roman was hysterically laughing at the idea that Solo Sikoa could be the tribal chief. You know, that's a major seed planted. That's a tease that down the line, Roman will be on the island of relevancy all by himself, without a pot to piss in and without a paddle to swim. You know, he's going to be stuck on the island of irrelevancy all by himself. He might have Paul Heyman. At the end of the day, Paul Heyman might sink with him. But the question is, how soon do they break apart Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns? Because remember, a lot of people do believe that Roman Reigns is going to be taking time off after next year's WrestleMania. I know people reported it this year as well, but it didn't happen, and that's an awesome thing. And yes, we will talk a little bit about Ronda Rousey in a moment, because I do have an update for everybody. We kind of talked about it yesterday, and one of the scenarios we talked about yesterday appears to be true. But for those that are interested, here is Roman Reigns' schedule for the month of July. He will be on SmackDown Friday the 7th. He will be on SmackDown 2 weeks after, on the 21st in Orlando. He'll be at the Super Show in Mexico City on the 22nd of July. He will be on SmackDown the 28th of July. And then you have SummerSlam, August 5th. So it looks like the 14th of July will be the only day that he will not be on TV, as far as SmackDown goes. Cody Rhodes, let me give you Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, he will be in London for Money. Well, actually, yeah, that was yesterday, 2 days ago. What am I saying? London for Money in the Bank. He was on Raw tonight. He'll be on Raw next week in Buffalo. He will be on SmackDown doing a dark match on the 14th of July. Roman Reigns will not be there. Expect Cody to probably cut another promo about Roman Reigns, because he does that when he does super shows or SmackDown dark matches and Roman is not there. You have the 16th in Fairfax, Virginia for a super show. The 16th in Maryland for a super show, Salisbury. Then it'll be on Raw July 17th. Mexico City, Mexico on July 22nd. Monterrey, Mexico on the 23rd. It'll be on Raw the 24th. Raw the 31st. It'll be on every Raw going into SummerSlam. Then it'll be on the super shows in Fort Myers, Florida, and Coral Gables, Florida, I believe, July 29th. And 30th. Seth Rollins still having fun with the fact that WWE does not give him any type of good graphics. I had to Photoshop him into this one. Seth will be on television. We saw him obviously tonight. He'll be on SmackDown this Friday in a dark match. I believe he is wrestling Damian Priest, by the way. So Damian Priest will get a title shot in the dark match, even though he does not have to cash in the briefcase. Let me point that out. He'll be on Raw next Monday in Buffalo. He'll be at the ESPYs July 12th, July 15th in Fairfax, Virginia for the Super Show, July 17th Atlanta's Raw, the 22nd and 23rd in Mexico, the Super Shows that I mentioned earlier. He'll be on Raw the 24th of July in Tampa, Raw the 31st of July in Houston, and he'll be working those two house shows in Fort Myers and Coral Gables in the 29th and 30th of July. So that is your schedules for the three biggest stars on the roster, obviously. All right, let's talk a little update about Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey has quickly become a very hot topic, and yes, tonight in storyline, they played off on a lot of realism. I got to be honest with you. I think tonight's segment with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler might be my favorite segment that ever had Ronda Rousey. Even a shit in the back when she was handcuffed and she kicked out the cop's windows. That stuff was ridiculous. So much, you know, emphasis on females dominating males. It's wrestlers, it's staff, it's security, it's police. If you remember at that time when they were hyping up Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, they just took the man cards away from fucking dozens and dozens of men. Tonight, I thought was spectacular. However you feel about Ronda Rousey, it does appear that Ronda Rousey will be leaving. And SummerSlam seems to be the likely time that she is going to go. Now, remember, she left originally to go have a kid. Then when she came back, the big question was, how long was her contract for? Was it 1 year? Was it 2 years? Was it 3 years? A lot of people think that this is an abrupt ending to her current WWE run. Some people think that her contract is just running out. I'll be honest with you. I think it's an abrupt ending. I know we talked about it yesterday, and listen, I am a huge fan of Liv Morgan. I like Raquel Rodriguez. I think WWE has not done well with Raquel Rodriguez, even though she's, what, 2-3-time champ on TV already. They have not given her the momentum that she deserves. You see how she tossed around Trish Stratus like a salad and others, and then she gets rolled up, you know, more than once. But I think part of it was in the record books for the unification match, that Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez unifying those titles may not have been strong enough in the annals of wrestling history. I know that sounds terrible to say, but I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, you know, as much as you may not like Ronda Rousey in that ring, can't take away the fact that she is a huge name in sports. And when you look 10, 20 years from now, and you see those two names on there, wow, you know, two MMA legends, you know, were champions at that time. But when you take the NXT factor into it, you know, it seems like Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez is more on even level with women even in NXT. You look at the tag team turmoil match that we had tonight. You know, some of those teams are makeshift teams, not really any momentum to even think they would come close to becoming tag team champs. Yet, you really could have picked a winner tonight. Probably Dana Brooke and Tegan Nox was probably the only team that you probably thought they had no shot. By the way, what happened to Dana Brooke with her leg still fucked up? She's got to turn heel. She's got to turn heel in NXT. Not yet, but in a couple of weeks, Dana Brooke has to turn heel. But it appears that Ronda Rousey will be leaving. And SummerSlam or shortly thereafter, that's it. And tonight on Raw, we had Shayna Baszler come out and basically say what a majority of the net has been saying. You know, she, you know, thinks that she could speak for everyone, that we're sick and tired of hearing Ronda Rousey talk. Shayna Baszler technically should have been the heel tonight. Shayna Baszler cheap shots her partner, leaves, costs them the tag titles. It's not something that a babyface does. But Shayna Baszler got herself over as big-time babyface tonight. I love this. I eat and sleep wrestling. I put up rings to get an opportunity. You waltz into WrestleMania. Shayna Baszler even blames herself for having Ronda Rousey, bringing Ronda Rousey to WWE and Ronda Rousey sticking up the joint. But Shayna Baszler tonight got herself over as a big babyface. And Shayna Baszler saying that Ronda Rousey ruined everything for Shayna, that kind of like hits pretty strong. What is interesting is what we talked about yesterday, and that is WrestleMania time. You know, people that I spoke with Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler were supposed to go down at WrestleMania. Maybe Ronda was going to leave around that time? I don't know. Ronda had the injury to her arm, so maybe that's why that was put on the shelf and they did the tag team. You know, remember they had a multiple tag team match for the women's tag team champions and Ronda didn't have to do much of anything. You put a one-on-one with Shayna Baszler, she's got to either put on a huge performance or nothing. So that was heavily rumored for WrestleMania. It did not happen. But now the question is, what do you do at SummerSlam? Me, I would do an I Quit match. Loser, I don't know if I would do loser leaves WWE. I think it would better be I Quit. But when you quit, you not only quit the match, but you also quit WWE. And as long as we don't get a Brian Pillman, I do not want Ronda Rousey to just quit and walk out like an asshole. You know, remember when Brian Pillman was going to take on Kevin Sullivan? I respect you, Booker man, and he walked out. People are like, what the fuck was that? I mean, in hindsight, it was great because it became loose cannon. But, you know, there's always that weird speculation. Could you imagine if Ronda Rousey just quits and just walks out? And people would be like, what the fuck was that? Personally, I don't think that'll happen. Because if that did, Ronda Rousey will never step foot in the WWE ring again. I don't think fans will ever forgive her for that. Even if it was Vince's idea, I don't think fans would ever forgive her for that. I think Ronda Rousey, if she exits, she may put on the best match of her career, WWE career, against Shayna Baszler. They are very, very good friends. They're one half of the Four Horsewomen. And the idea that Ronda Rousey's last match, and never say never, she could come back a year from now, 2 years from now. She ain't 50 years old. You know, it's just that, unfortunately, you know, it hasn't clicked. It hasn't had momentum. And, you know, sometimes she's a human sleeping pill, the way she talks. It doesn't feel like she has the energy in it. You know, so it appears that Ronda Rousey will, in fact, be leaving very, very soon. And we'll see where this goes for Shayna Baszler. I just don't understand why put the tag team titles on them if they knew that she was exiting. You know, if anything, I don't know, maybe just as, I can't picture Ronda and Shayna being transitional champions. I can't, unless, like I said, for the record book, they just did not want Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez's name as the one who unified the tag titles. All right. Let's talk about Raw a little bit. Definitely going to get into This Week in Wrestling History later, and I gathered a lot of photos for you. This is definitely an episode you want to tune into, and we got some ratings. The only rating we don't have is Collision, but wrestling last week had a nice jolt in the ratings across the board. Everybody, including Impact Wrestling, which went up like 45%, and nobody's talking about it, which is kind of sad. But one thing that I will say now before we get into the Raw recap, and this is a little news. You probably should know about it, especially since I know there's a lot of people here who are fans of Kathy Kelly. No, she did not leave WWE. But as you saw tonight on Raw, Jackie Redmond made her Raw debut. Jackie Redmond's been around WWE for a couple of years now. If you don't know anything about her, then you don't watch pre-shows or other stuff that WWE does. She's been around. But now she is officially the backstage interviewer for Raw along with Byron Saxton. That means Kathy Kelly is now exclusively on SmackDown with Kayla Braxton, which means Megan Morant will be more for Raw Talk, SmackDown Lowdown, doing stuff for the WWE headquarters. Megan Morant will not be on SmackDown anymore. So Kathy Kelly will now be on SmackDown. So for those tonight that might have been saying, hey, where is Kathy Kelly? Well, now you know. So I figured I'd give you that a little bit of info. Obviously, the news is light because it is a holiday weekend. Not a hell of a lot is going on. And we just had Money in the Bank, which was spectacular. Absolutely enjoyed it. Yesterday we talked a little bit about LA Knight and Damian Priest, and there's no controversy there. And I honestly think this is not just a cheap plug. Yesterday's show, we like doubled our normal audience, and the feedback that I'm getting in email and online has already been pretty awesome. But LA Knight, his immediate future is very, very positive. And there's a lot of buzz that he will be dethroning Austin Theory for that United States Championship. I know that's probably the only available title right now for LA Knight to win. He ain't winning no women's championship. He ain't winning no tag team championship. Remember everybody that was saying that, what was it, Riddick Moss? No, it wasn't Riddick Moss. It was Rick Boogs. Remember? Oh, Rick Boogs and LA Knight. They're going to be this tag team. And why are they doing this tag team? And I remember we were like, wait, that's his first storyline for 1 week. He ain't putting him in a tag team. He ain't winning a heavyweight title. He ain't dethroning Gunther. There's no 24-7 title. So really the only championship that's available right now for LA Knight is Austin Theory. And Austin Theory will not be buried if he loses that championship. In fact, I think a lot of people feel that Austin Theory's run since WrestleMania has been very, very plain, to say the least. So, all right, let's recap Raw a little bit. I have some photos. I will share them. We open up Raw tonight with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is in the ring, and the fans are serenading. But as we said a couple of weeks ago, when Seth was in the ring with Finn Balor, and you got fans online, Finn looked visibly upset. Finn was very, very angry. And they got to get this under control. Seth Rollins, any of these wrestlers, they know how to stop it. All Seth Rollins had to do today was bow. And the crowd applauded. And they stopped. As long as Seth stays like this, the crowd's going to keep doing it. Finn Balor, make it, listen. The fact that fans thought that Finn Balor was visibly, legitimately, really upset, that means he's doing his job beautifully. WWE knows what they're doing, and these wrestlers know what they're doing. So Seth Rollins is in the ring, and he's soaking it all in, and he's going through his whole stick. I am the visionary. I am. And before you know it, almost immediately, Cody Rhodes' music hits. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was actually kind of confused with this. Cody Rhodes, his music hits, and he hits the ring, and Seth Rollins is looking at him like, what are you doing here? And before Cody could say anything, nice camera work, Brock Lesnar's music hits. So Cody is looking in the back of his head like, oh shit, shit's on. Shit is on. Brock Lesnar shows up, and right away, Cody charges the rampway. They start brawling. They start getting into it. They end up into the ring, and then Cody with the Cody cutter and knocks Brock Lesnar on his ass. And Brock Lesnar ultimately gets out of Dodge. And meanwhile, Seth Rollins is outside the ring, taking this all in. And still, like we're saying to us, I was like, why did Cody interrupt Seth Rollins in the first place? It didn't make any sense. So we go to commercial. And again, listen, I loved that now they're going Brock Cody to SummerSlam. I loved that Brock showed up. I loved the brawl. The brawl looked great. But the execution was a little bit questionable. Like, why would Cody come out and interrupt Seth? You know, it was never explained. Why wouldn't Seth be a little annoyed at that? We go to commercial, we come back, and Seth's back in the ring by himself. He's like, wow, what a hot way, Baltimore, they open up Raw. You know, a little too positive, you know? So now Cody is about to start talking again, and lo and behold, he gets interrupted by the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day are on the rampway, and Rhea Ripley gets on the microphone, and she's like, Seth, that's enough about you. Everyone is here to see the Judgment Day take over. And Seth takes notice that there's no Finn Balor. Where's Finny Finn Finn, as he said? Rhea says Finn is fine. Finn is fine. Say that fast 10 times. Then Damian Priest gets on the mic. Seth, don't concern yourself about the Judgment Day's business. You should be concerned about this. He holds up the Money in a Bank briefcase. I could cash this in at SummerSlam. I could cash it in against you tonight. He mentions that he'll be taking on Shinsuke Nakamura tonight. And when everything is said and done, he will be El Campeón Mundial. Mundial. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. All I know is Chocho Arena. So Seth Rollins gets on the mic and he says, oh, he was going to party in Baltimore tonight. He doesn't have a match. And Damian Priest teases that maybe one of them will take on Seth Rollins tonight. Remember 2 weeks ago when I said, oh, I thought that Dominic Mysterio should have faced Seth Rollins on June 19th to mock 619 Day because that's Rey Mysterio Day? Well, Dom Dom is going to take on Seth Rollins tonight. And Seth says, oh, he could smell a setup, but he would be happy to smash that stash off of Dominic's face. And Dominic tries to get a word in. Crowd will not let him. And then we got two nicknames tonight. Sexy Seth will be taking on Dirty Dom. I kid you not, that's actually how they portrayed it tonight. So we end up getting the next match, which was Damian Priest beating Shinsuke Nakamura with the South of Heaven. And after the match, Damian Priest climbs the turnbuckle, reminds everyone that he is Señor Money in the Bank. And we go to commercial. We get a little recap of Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler for Money in the Bank. And here comes Ronda Rousey, and she is pissed the fuck off. No smile on her face this time. She goes to the ring. She demands that Shayna Baszler come out there. Before Ronda really could say anything, Shayna's music hits, and Shayna tells the fans, I'm pretty confident when I say that we are sick of hearing you on the microphone. Ronda demands an explanation. She's owed an explanation, and Shayna Baszler is questioning Ronda. I owe you? I'm the reason you are here. And I made the biggest mistake in bringing you here. I scratched and I clawed to get my spot, and you just walked into WrestleMania. Shayna continues talking about how she put up rings to get a chance to be in the ring. She loves this, and you've ruined it for me, and I'm going to finally shut you up. And this leads to a little bit of a physical altercation. Little back and forth. Ronda Rousey, for a brief moment, getting the upper hand. And for those with video, Shayna Baszler with a fucking knee right to Ronda Rousey. Holy shit, did she knock her. But the problem was, when Shayna Baszler left the ring and the music hit and Shayna starts walking back, Ronda's not even selling the knee. She's like, come back here. I'm not finished. We're not done. Come back here. She sounded like a crying puppy. It's raining out. Open the door. I'm getting wet. Did not sell it enough, but it looked really good. This was a very strong segment. A little weird because Shayna Baszler technically should have been the heel out of this, but the fans obviously are behind Shayna Baszler. Listen, we talked about it. I know I keep saying yesterday, but we talked about a lot of stuff yesterday. You know, we talked about Shayna Baszler on her Twitch streaming online. You watch one or two of her streams and you connect with her. She really down to earth, really, really loves pro wrestling. And you could feel it and you could see the authenticity there. And when fans feel that, you know, no matter what character they play in the ring, they appreciate that. And you could see that with Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is definitely someone that people do respect in the world of pro wrestling. You know, I honestly thought her and Nia Jax was so much fun, man. I know people hated that tag team, but there was just that dynamic with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I still think of that I think TikTok video where it was Nia Jax and Charlotte and they were dancing and then Shayna Baszler showed up in the back in the video and started doing a dance. If you've never seen that video, go watch it. It'll definitely put a smile on your face. It was good. So, getting back to Raw tonight, we get a little tag team turmoil. We get a tag team turmoil. to determine who the new number one contender for the Women's Tag Team Championships will be. We have Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell, nice to see her back from injury. We have Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. We have Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, Dana Brooke and Tegan Knox, and Nikki Cross and Emma. And Emma supporting the, still not used to her being a brunette, sorry. But Nikki Cross, they show a little segment. They're now bringing back up her kind of little bit of obsession with Candice LeRae. Talk about a storyline that's been dropped for how long? And now Nikki Cross, she wants a team with Candice LeRae today, but Ken's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have a partner already. So Emma shows up, and Emma's like, I'll be your partner tonight. So now we have Nikki Cross and Emma as a tag team. And during this match, you have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez sitting ringside. Yes, I agree with some of those out there. It was a little strange to see Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler have a segment, walk off. They just lost the tag titles, and here you got Liv and Raquel coming out immediately after, and they're the champs. The timing was a little bit strange. But it was a very predictable match. And Chelsea Green, Sonya Deville, you know, they end up winning this thing. We have originally Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville taking out Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae pretty quickly. After that first match is over, Nikki Cross is very, very concerned about Candice LeRae outside the ring. So Nikki Cross leaves the ring side area, and she's tending to Candice LeRae. Are you okay? Are you okay? And Candice LeRae walks off, and Nikki Cross, for the rest of the match, is sitting outside on the floor having a meltdown. And honestly, the crowd was not into it. It was not very good. Emma was working the match by herself. At one point, she goes for the tag, but Nikki Cross is nowhere to be found. And Sonya Deville ends up taking out Emma. 1, 2, 3. Then we have Tegan Knox and Dana Brooke. And oh my God, can it get worse for Dana Brooke? They fucking got eliminated during the commercial break. We literally came back from the commercial break. The split screen literally ended, and they had already been pinned. The match was over for them. And then it comes down to Katana Chance and Kayden Carter. They lost as well, but this was the move of the night. We had Kayden Carter on the top turnbuckle, she had Chelsea Green on her shoulders. And Katana Chance literally jumps up, as I will show you now, and hits Huracanrana. I know it's when I do it, it sounds like Hua, like you're a Hua. No, Huracanrana. I can't, yeah, that's how I say it. Beautiful move. I mean, it's amazing to look at Katana Chance a year and a half ago compared to now. I mean, they are smooth. And even though they're losing these matches, the crowd very, very slowly, they're winning them over. That was the move of the night. But unfortunately, in the end, they are eliminated. Chelsea Green hits the unpretty her to Kayden Carter for the win. So then we get a little bit of a stare down with Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez with Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. And I know what people are saying, you know, not for nothing, but how many times is Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green getting a title match? They're going to lose again. I like Liv and Raquel, obviously, but I'm starting to like want to root for Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. I mean, how many times are they going to lose over and over and over? And they've gotten title matches, and it's not like a long time ago either. We got a little video package for Bronson Reed, which was very good. Didn't really do much of anything because he wasn't on the card tonight. Becky Lynch hits the ring. Becky Lynch gets on the microphone, and she didn't win Money in the Bank. And she could get past that, but she can't get past Trish Stratus, and she wants to end this now with Trish Stratus. She demands Trish Stratus to come out. Trish Stratus ends up on the rampway, and lo and behold, for us older fans out there, yeah, this kind of looks very familiar. For younger wrestling fans out there, if you were not aware of this, Trish Stratus had to wear a face mask like this back in 2004. And there you go. So she's wearing pretty much the same mask that she did in 2004. And Becky Lynch is laughing at Trish Stratus. And they're exchanging insults. Trish is mocking, not Baltimore, but Baltiless. And Trish says that, she's not medically cleared to fight tonight. But Zoe Stark would be more than welcome to beat down Becky Lynch. And Becky Lynch starts throwing loads of insults on Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark, accuses Zoe Stark of being her lackey. And then Becky Lynch says to Trish Stratus, you know, if you won't face me, why are you still here? I don't know. I mean, Trish just said she's not medically cleared, but Becky is talking, I guess, in the bigger picture. And Trish stresses that she is the face of the women's division. And she finds it ironic that Becky Lynch tried to literally break the face of the women's division. So Becky Lynch tonight wants to face Zoe Stark. We think the match is going to happen. And what ends up happening is they bail. They bail out of the ring. And they don't have a match. So they tease that something is going to go down next week. Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark. Jackie Redmond interviewing Cody Rhodes. Cody with a very short promo, just basically saying that he is willing to face Brock on any night. Any night, he'll be willing to face Brock. Now remember, Cody will be at Raw next week. Brock Lesnar will not. Brock Lesnar will be there the following week. So challenge should be made by Cody next week for SummerSlam. We'll see if there is an added stipulation. A lot of people have been speculating what that stipulation will be. And very, very short, but very good promo by Cody Rhodes. I don't have the close-up shot, but if you go on Twitter, there are some real good close-up, high-definition shots of Cody Rhodes' face in this segment. Man, did they put on a boatload of cover-up on Cody Rhodes' face. If you look at the up-close pictures, you'll see whoever did that makeup job definitely did not do a very good job of it. But, you know, just something that I noticed during the segment. We get Alpha Academy and Maxxine Dupri. They defeat the Viking Raiders and Valhalla. At one point towards the latter part of the match, Maxxine Dupri attempts a caterpillar. And it was funny because she's prayed in the ring. And it didn't look like the Eddie Guerrero shimmy shimmy. It just looked like, and I'm sorry for sounding nasty, it looked like a chick that's on the beach and she's wearing like a bikini that's like five sizes too small and she's just walking around going like this. If I didn't have a shirt on, they probably would be jingling. They're jingling, baby. So Maxxine Dupri is doing this, and even Corey Graves is talking a little awkward. She attempts the caterpillar, but Valhalla stops her. Next thing you know, here's Chad Gable doing a moonsault outside the ring. And Maxxine Dupri with the roll-up on Valhalla. And it was funny when I saw the pin because you could see, like, Maxxine Dupri, like, had to put her nose the other way. And I know I'm sounding a little bit dirty, but if I zoom in on his picture a little bit. Yeah, Maxxine Dupri had to, like, turn her face sideways. I don't think anything's, you know, this isn't like Mae Young or Fabulous Moolah putting sardines down there. But, yeah, she got the roll-up, and they celebrated after the match was over. Fun match. Did you ever think that Maxxine Dupri and Alpha Academy would have worked? A couple of months ago, to me, it was just stupid. It just felt like, oh, this is leading to a goofy storyline where Otis's heart is going to be broken and the Maximum Male Models, it's a setup. They've actually clicked. I actually am enjoying this. I just hope we don't get, You know, because remember that woman that's suing WWE, claiming, you know, like prejudice and stuff, and she was talking about like some whacked out storylines that people were pitching. I keep thinking to myself, you know, a lot of those people are still working for WWE, and I wonder down the line if we're going to get some weird storyline where Chad Gable, maybe it's not explicit, but maybe we see Chad Gable like out to dinner with Maxxine Dupri, and Otis's heart is broken again. I don't know if I want to see that. I mean, the first time around, you know, okay, that was fine, but I get this strange feeling like when it comes time to break them up, they can do something stupid like that. Let's hope that they don't. Let's hope that they don't. We might get a pretty awesome SummerSlam match. It's not like Seth Rollins and Omos, or, you know, a match where, oh, here, LA Knight and Bray Wyatt. I know that fucking Mountain Dew shit was awful. But if you remember when they first started interacting with each other, we were all excited. We were all buying in. And we were all saying, wow, this is the match we never knew that we wanted. We thought that was, and then it just fell off the rails. I don't know if anybody out there ever realized that Ricochet versus Logan Paul at SummerSlam might be one of the most anticipated matches, because they had a brawl in the back after Money in the Bank. Ricochet is being interviewed by Jackie Redmond, and Ricochet says that, hey, the kid, he calls Logan Paul the kid can hang. And by the way, I want to make this clear. I just want to clear something up. I know sometimes wrestlers will call somebody kid, and they might be in their 30s or even like close to 40. In many cases, when you see that, take note that it's more of the longevity and the length of their wrestling career. You know, obviously, if somebody gets into the wrestling business and in their 40s or 50s, you don't call them kid. But when someone still looks awfully young and they're not in wrestling all that long, they'll use the kid reference. You know, so when Ricochet calls Logan Paul a kid, it's more of, you know, you could say that Austin Theory, and even Austin Theory, I'm not a kid anymore. But he called Logan Paul a kid tonight and said, next week, show up to Raw and face me like a man. Meet me in the ring face to face. Not issuing a challenge on YouTube. I'm not issuing a challenge on social media. Face me in the ring next week on Raw. So, looks like we will be getting Logan Paul versus Ricochet. They need a stipulation. I don't know if it should be a ladder match. I don't know if it should be. There's got to be a stipulation, because you don't want these two guys just wrestling. We need some crazy stipulation. But Ricochet issued the challenge tonight, and I'm feeling it. I thought it was good idea to do. Rhea Ripley taking on Natalya tonight. And like I said earlier, this was a match that I was shocked. I was shocked how good it was, because WWE gave them time. And with Rhea Ripley, you kind of say to yourself right now, only the top echelon, the Bianca Belairs, the Charlotte Flairs, the Baileys, they're the only ones that should be taking Rhea Ripley almost to the distance. Tonight, we kind of got that. Before the match even went down, Rhea Ripley was insulting people at ringside, and Natty nails it from behind, gives a little bit back to Rhea Ripley for what she's been doing the last two times, and the match is on. And Rhea's put in a lot of offense and looking good. And while this is going on, let's go, Rhea. Let's go, Rhea. I was a little surprised, because remember, earlier in the night, she was with Dom Dom. Earlier in the night, she's insulted Seth Rollins. She's insulting the fans. And in that ring, crowd was still behind her. Natalya hits a discus lariat for a two count, attempts a sharpshooter, but Rhea Ripley stops it. Rhea Ripley with a really hard pair of boots to Natalya's chest, followed by a missile dropkick for their two. And then probably the second best move of the night, because we got to give the first one to Katana Chance. Rhea Ripley climbs the top rope. And I don't know what it is about doing this, you know, like with the women, but we got it again tonight. This time she is paying tribute to Dominic. She climbs the top rope, and she is going to do a frog splash onto Natalya. And listen, we love Rhea Ripley, but didn't seem like she had any distance at all. It was like literally like went up and went straight down. But Natalya kicked her right in the fucking mouth. And I don't know if you all caught it, but Rhea Ripley was bleeding pretty damn good from the mouth. And yeah, there you go. She was bleeding pretty damn good from the mouth. She spits the, you know, all the blood out. Doesn't phase her at all. And now the chants get even louder. Let's go, Rhea. Then you have Rhea Ripley nail a prism lock on Natalya. Kicks Natalya in the head, hits the prism lock, and the crowd is chanting, tap, tap, tap. Crowd, I'd say about 75% behind Rhea Ripley. Natalya ends up pushing Rhea Ripley into the corner to break up the prism lock. Rhea Ripley quickly recovers, climbs the ropes, attempts the frog splash, gets kicked in the mouth, and Natty with a power slam, followed by the sharpshooter, Rhea grabs the ropes, breaks it up again. Within maybe 20 seconds, Rhea Ripley gets the upper hand, hits the riptide to Natalya, and gets the win. Rhea Ripley retains the women's championship. After the match is over, Rhea Ripley with a little post-match beatdown to Natalya, and she is saved by Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. This was something that we talked about on Sunday. You know, Rhea Ripley doesn't have a plethora of opponents. Who is she going to feud with? Why are the tag team champions the ones to make the save? Yes, they are the baby faces. Yes, they are the good girls making the save for Natty, who is getting beat down. But they're the tag champs now. You know, we were wondering yesterday if Raquel Rodriguez will end up being the next feud for Rhea Ripley, and I'm all for it. But if they're tag champs, you know Raquel Rodriguez has no shot of winning this championship. I can't believe that we're now, what, 3+ months from WrestleMania, and Rhea Ripley, her claim to reign is Zelina Vega and Natalya. Pretty much, that's it. And it's not any knock on Rhea. It's not her fault. She shows up to work. She does what she is told. She does it great. Fans acknowledge that. But man, talk about milking a reign. Sooner or later, you know, listen, you got Becky Lynch cut a promo like she did last week to Rhea and joked that she's second fiddle, that she doesn't defend her championship. And that's kind of nice, because I know a lot of people who complain, including me, like, yeah, yeah, that's right. She doesn't defend. That doesn't change anything. I mean, Becky Lynch didn't shoot. WWE creative have been like, wow, I didn't really think of that. No, this is all designed. It's all designed. So they make the save, and we move on. We get a little recap from the Bloodline. I think first we had Ciampa and The Miz. This was good. They're setting up a match for next week. Tommaso Ciampa cuts a promo on The Miz. Talks about The Miz. Not too long ago, losing match after match after match, and then Miz got that spark. And Tommaso Ciampa wants The Miz to bring that spark next week. But Ciampa is holding the cards. Then we see a retort by The Miz. And The Miz is on the screen, and Miz is like, I don't care what kind of card you have. I don't care if you have two of a kind, three of a kind, a straight. I have a royal flush. And the last person that called me a coward is gone from the WWE. I do have a spark in my eye, and next week I'm going to bring that chip. You better bring that chip on your shoulder in our no DQ match. You and everyone will put respect in my name because I am the Miz. And you hear the crowd in the background going, I am awesome. I'm telling you, I'm one of the few. I'm not taking credit for this. I'm one of the few that has always been a fan of the Miz and was pretty much always fan of Michael Cole. Yeah, the Jerry Lawler stuff was awful. But I have appreciated Michael Cole for a lot longer than a lot of people out there. It warmed my heart this weekend to see how much love and praise Michael Cole got online for his Money in the Bank commentary. There are clips on Twitter right now. I don't have them tonight. I should have took them, but I don't. But there are clips of Michael Cole's reactions to some of the spots at Money in the Bank, and they had the camera on him. And for a guy that has been doing this for WWE for over 20 years, you know, Pat McAfee reinvigorated him. And he has given Pat McAfee that credit. But you could feel that something happened. And it's not just money in a contract. Something happened with Michael Cole a couple of years ago and just took it to a different level. And I saw the reaction online this week, and I was like, that is so fucking cool. At the end of the day, would I rather have Mauro Ranallo than Michael Cole? Yes. Do I still think that Jim Ross and others were better than Michael Cole? Absolutely. But for what we have right now, to see someone have that much energy at that age, after all of these years, and you feel like he's really feeling this, it's great, man. It's great. That is awesome. That is awesome. Go seek it out if you haven't seen it. So now we get a little recap of what happened with the Bloodline at Money in the Bank. I thought this was an awesome screenshot of Jey Uso getting the pin. Jimmy Uso with his hand over his forehead. Can't believe after 3+ years, Roman Reigns has been pinned. Roman Reigns is beatable. And the small decline of Roman Reigns to show kinks in the armor continues. As the Bloodline implodes, Roman Reigns' championship reign will ultimately implode. Can't last forever. The storyline of the beginning of Roman Reigns' end as undisputed WWE Universal Champion is upon us. Friday, he will be on trial. Let's see how it plays out. But obviously this ties in to SummerSlam. And then again, you got to pay attention to Roman Reigns' schedule. Because when you look at the schedule, you think of what's going to happen on Friday. You know, 2 weeks from now is when he returns. Then after that, you know, it's the road right into SummerSlam. So following that segment tonight, we had a backstage segment where Rhea Ripley bumps into Io Sky. Io Sky saying in something in Japanese, and Rhea Ripley's like, trust me, it'll be the biggest mistake of your life if you cash in. Dominic and Damian show up. Rhea Ripley talks about Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez getting in her business. And then we end up getting Matt Riddle beating Giovanni Vinci. If you got up to get a drink of water, the match was over. Matt Riddle beat Giovanni Vinci in a matter of seconds. And the usual happens. Right after the match, here is Vinci and Kaiser beating down Matt Riddle. But this time, we know somebody is going to make the save. It is not Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who are not there tonight. Maybe they did a dark match, but here comes Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre takes out Giovanni Vinci. And Gunther gets out of Dodge, and Drew McIntyre with a little bit of a stare down with Gunther. Gunther is not going for it. Giovanni Vinci eats a claymore from Drew McIntyre, and Gunther and Imperium, they back off. That leaves Matt Riddle and Drew McIntyre standing in the ring, tall, even though Riddle got his ass kicked once again. Probably will see Drew McIntyre and Riddle team up to take on Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci in the very near future. So now we get to the main event. Seth Rollins. Sexy Seth versus Dirty Dom. That is your match for tonight. Match started around 10:48 p.m., so we had about 12 minutes. This is after the introductions for both. Pretty even match early on. A little bit of chain wrestling. Seth Rollins with a little bit of ground game. Dominic Mysterio with a little bit of a ground game. When it starts to pick up, Seth Rollins, you know, not mocking Eddie Guerrero. You know, I'm very curious to see what Conan has to say about this. You know, because we've seen even AEW, some wrestlers doing, you know, some of, you know, tributes to Eddie. And, you know, it's been a little, it's come with mixed reaction. Tonight, Seth Rollins was mocking Dominic Mysterio. Was not negative in any way, shape, or form. But Seth Rollins hits nice trifecta of the Amigos, the three Amigos to Dom. Then we have Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest. They interfere. The referee is distracted. The crowd is chanting loud, Dom, you suck. Dom, you suck. Dominic attempts a frog splash. Seth gets the knees up. And now I'm looking at the time. It's 10:55 p.m. Seth Rollins goes for the pedigree, but Damian Priest climbs the apron. Seth Rollins knocks him off, throws Dominic to the outside, dives onto both of them, gets Dominic back in the ring, hits a forearm to the back of Dominic Mysterio's head, and then Seth Rollins goes to the corner and positions himself to set up for the curb stomp. And when he runs to the middle of the ring to nail it, here comes Damian Priest with the disqualification victory for Seth Rollins. He attacks Seth Rollins in the middle of the ring. Ref calls for the DQ. Damian Priest beating the balls out of Seth Rollins. Rhea Ripley has the briefcase while this is all going on. Damian Priest gets Seth Rollins to the outside and attempts to put Seth Rollins through a table with the razor's edge, but Seth blocks it, gets a brief advantage, but Dominic attacks him from behind. Dominic grabs the briefcase, hands it to Damian Priest, and tells him, cash in. Dominic Mysterio is telling Damian Priest, cash it in. So, Damian Priest is about to cash in the briefcase, and lo and behold, Finn Balor makes his appearance for the first time of the night. Finn Balor starts wailing on Seth Rollins. Finn Balor climbs the rope to hit the coup de grace onto Seth Rollins. And for some reason, Damian Priest is not happy with it. Damian Priest is looking at Finn Balor and he says, what are you doing? And they're arguing. And Damian Priest like, you know, this is, stop making this about you. This is about the Judgment Day. And they're arguing back and forth. And meanwhile, on the opposite side of the ring, Dominic Mysterio is outside the ring. Seth Rollins nails him with the pedigree, knocks his ass out. So now you have Finn Balor and Damian Priest going to the other side of the ring. Rhea Ripley is tending to Dominic Mysterio. Damian Priest and Finn Balor still having a war of words with each other. And Seth Rollins retreats. And that's how we go off the air. So as we expected, now you have a little jealousy between Finn Balor and Damian Priest. And I'll be honest with you. Since the bell didn't start yet, and since there was no DQ for Damian Priest's title shot, why would Damian Priest be so angry with Finn Balor climbing a rope and hitting a coup de grace? Dominic Mysterio attacked. I'm just talking storyline. Dominic Mysterio attacked Seth Rollins. Damian Priest was fine with it. Finn Balor attacked Seth Rollins. Finn Balor's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? The match didn't start yet. He didn't completely cash in the briefcase. So when you really split hairs, the ending was kind of stupid. It was shoddy. I don't want to say stupid. It was shoddy. But Finn Balor, not happy with the outcome of Money in the Bank. This will continue. And the briefcase will be the focal point of a lot of jealousy between the two. And we see where it goes from here. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. And I got to be honest with you, from beginning to end, is it one of the more memorable shows? No. But honestly, there wasn't much to complain about. If anything, the women's tag team turmoil match was a lot less to be desired, especially because of the number of makeshift teams, especially because of the poor outcomes of some of those individual matches. And also, Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green have gotten a lot of opportunities lately, and they keep going to them and they keep losing. You know, if they're going to become the next champs, maybe Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez will end up being the transitional champs. Maybe that ends up happening. Maybe Rhea Ripley causes Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to lose their tag titles to Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. And then maybe that sets up Rhea Ripley feuded, because I know right now we all feel that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler was the transitional champs. Could end up being Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Don't know. You know, WWE understands the popularity of Liv Morgan, and they like Liv Morgan with a championship. So we'll see. But to keep going to Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green, and they keep going, falling short, and they keep falling short, and they keep falling short, after a while, it gets too repetitive. I like them as a team, and I actually think that they work great together. I just wish they wouldn't have gotten so many title shots so soon and lose. I think you spread it around a little bit. Yeah, it's too soon for Katana Chance and Kayda Carr to get a title shot. You know, but I would have been happier with Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae winning it. But they wanted, obviously, a heel tag team to beat Liv Morgan, you know, to face Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for those belts. That's why you have Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green getting it. Nikki Cross, they're going to pick up this storyline that was put on hold for a couple of months. Whatever. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. Main event results. JD McDonagh gets a win over Akira Tozawa, and Apollo Crews beats Riddick Moss. I want to give you a quick preview of this week in wrestling history. Now, I don't have a bunch of photos, but I actually did jot down some of the highlights for this week's episode. And if you are interested, everything that I bring up now happened this week in wrestling history. The infamous match between NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair and WWF Champion Bob Backlund took place. The match sucked. There's no footage of it, but we will cover it. That happened this week in wrestling history. I actually have an audio clip of Gordon Solie interviewing Backlund and Ric Flair for this match. Very bizarre at that time. NWA champ and a WWF champ together having an interview segment. We'll look back at this week's World Class Championship Wrestling Star Wars events from 83 to 86. This week in history, the Magnificent Morocco became the first ever King of the Ring. We will look back at the Great American Bash from 85, 87, and 1990. This week in history, the first ever War Games match went down. We will also talk about the curse of July 4th. July 4th, Adrian Adonis died. Joey Morella died. Pat Kelly and Dave McKinney died. Brutus Beefcake had the parasailing accident. And Vince McMahon had a very serious motorcycle accident. Bet you never heard about that one. They all happened on the 4th of July. This week in history, Vader made his WCW debut. We talk about the dudes with attitudes. I have audio highlights of, yeah, that, believe it or not, that is Rob Van Dam at 20 years old. He took on a 26-year-old Sabu in the USWA back in 1991. I have the footage. This week in history, obviously, Lex Luger body slammed Yokozuna on the Intrepid, and the Lex Express began. The Gangsters, New Jack and Sheik Mustafa, made their Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut. That infamous match, my favorite match of all time from Wrestling Challenge. Bret Hart faces Bob Backlund. Bret Hart defending the championship against Bob. It is the greatest match in WWF Wrestling Challenge history. I absolutely, if you, when you check out the footage of that, you will understand why. This week in history, the Ultimate Warrior wrestled his last ever WWE match against Owen Hart. And we look back at how the WWF handled his exit from the company. It was pretty weird at the time. This Week in History, Bash at the Beach and Hulk Hogan betrayed WCW and the New World Order was formed this week in history. We'll look back at Canadian Stampede 1997 this week in history. Bill Goldberg took on Hollywood Hulk Hogan at the Georgia Dome. Monday Nitro. They drew almost 40,000 in 3 days' notice. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, a moment that WWE will want you to forget. It was this week in history that D-Generation X mocked the Nation of Domination, complete with blackface. Yes. We will look back at WWF Football. It was a house show that WWF was supposed to have at Foxborough Stadium, the home of the New England Patriots. We have the card, the lineup, and why it canceled. Jerry Lawler announced his candidacy for mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. This is cool. I had to do so much research to find these pictures. This week in wrestling history, Stone Cold Steve Austin took batting practice with the Philadelphia Phillies and the same weekend threw out the first pitch for the New York Mets. Yes. I was so happy when I found those pictures. Parent Teacher Council had to pay WWF $3.5 million this week. We cover why TNN dropped ECW programming after 1 year of a three-year deal. This week in history, Johnny the Bull in WCW tore up his ass in a match against Terry Funk. He legitimately tore his ass up. Did one of the dumbest moves in wrestling history and tore up his ass. I'm not kidding. Discovery Channel aired a memorable special that showed the very early beginning of John Cena in a wrestling ring. This week in history, WWE signed Brock Lesnar to his first ever deal. Bam Bam Bigelow suffered over 40% of his body, had burns over 40% of his body rescuing children from a house fire. We look back this week in history, the infamous match that spelled the beginning of the end of the invasion angle, Buff Bagwell taking on Booker T on Monday Nitro. This week in history, that death match that I've always talked about, where unfortunately XPW used charcoal fluid to light a table and Supreme was put through the table and suffered major burns and was in critical condition in California. That happened this week. This week in history was the infamous Jackie Gator match. Kevin Nash tore his quad on Monday Night Raw this week in history. Also, we have Billy and Chuck defending the WWE Tag Team titles against Hulk Hogan and Edge. Ric Flair's autobiography debuts at number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list. It was this week in history that Chavo Guerrero denounced his Hispanic heritage and became Kerwin White. This week in history, Shawn Michaels turned on Hulk Hogan, and that feud, pretty memorable for all the wrong reasons. If you remember when JBL attacked the Blue Meanie at ECW One Night Stand this week in history, the wrong was righted. Blue Meanie took on JBL on SmackDown. I think he beat him, too. Looking back at the PR nightmare that WWE had when they had The Undertaker take on Daivari on SmackDown, and then Muhammad Hassan attacked The Undertaker, and they simulated almost was supposed to be a beheading. It was surreal when it went down. We will cover the media outrage. We're not talking wrestling media. We're talking mainstream media. That was fucking wild. That was, what, 2005? This week in history, WWE released Billy Kidman, Spike Dudley, Mark Jindrak, Maven, Shannon Moore, Akio, Gangrel, Mordecai, Kenzo Suzuki, Hiroko, Jackie Gator, Matt Morgan, Dawn Marie, Joy Giovanni, Jim Cornette, Trevor Murdoch, and Armando Alejandro Estrada. Yeah, this week Sabu and RVD were arrested. RVD was the ECW and WWE champion, got pulled over, found drugs in a car. I know RVD recently said that they were never arrested. Well, he should contact the newspapers because I got a lot of newspaper articles from that time and they all reported they were arrested. I got the proof on the screen. I actually, in this episode, play the audio of the police officer who pulled them over. No joke. We also cover, obviously, RVD's title defenses, and he had to drop them because of what happened. Mickey Knuckles, if anybody remembers, she suffered that awful broken leg during the IWA Mid-South match against Sara Del Rey. We cover that. This week in history, after less than 1 year in business, who remembers this? Ric Flair Finances files for bankruptcy. You could go to Ric Flair and get a mortgage, an auto loan. You could refinance. Yeah, that is legit. He had a company, Ric Flair Finance. Would you invest money with Ric Flair Finance? I don't think so. Edge suffered that awful torn Achilles tendon this week in history. Who remembers GLAAD? Anybody remember GLAAD, that organization? They put the major heat on WWE after a fan recorded cell phone footage of CM Punk calling a fan live homophobic references. Yeah, you're not going to go any further than that. We cover a bunch of TNA events. This week in history, my friends, it is the 10-year anniversary. The 10-year anniversary. This week, 10 years ago, the Wyatt family made its Raw debut. And those assholes ringside chanting Husky Harris 10 years ago this week. Why this happened, I have no idea. Ricardo Rodriguez gets suspended for failing the wellness policy. We get a bunch of releases in TNA. The Pennsylvania District Attorney reopens the Nancy Argentina case after Jimmy Snuka's biography comes out. It was this year in history that WWE fired Emma and then rehired her after she walked out of a Walmart without paying for an iPhone case. We talk about TNA One Night Onlys, New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion's final deletion happened 7 years ago this week. We also get the infamous, and yes, we cover it, the rap battle between the Usos and the New Day. And then we even get a little bit of Global Force Wrestling. This week is a fun episode to check out. Absolutely. NXT and AEW this week. The big buzz about NXT is this match. Loser leaves NXT, the Creed Brothers versus the Dyad. I'm not giving anything away, but that will go down tomorrow. We got Roxanne Perez against Blair Davenport. We will see a continued build between Ilya Dragunov and Bron Breakker. They will be going at it. And then we got the Fight Pit match. You know, Raw Underground. I think that's better worded. Raw Underground. Damon Kemp, Javier Bernal, and Gable Steveson will be in the corner of Javier Bernal. What will happen? Raw Underground goes NXT. I hope they bring it back on more than one occasion. I think JC Jane takes on Taya Valkyrie as well. AEW tomorrow, Wednesday. Well, technically it is tomorrow because we're already Tuesday now. This is what they have advertised. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. Somehow this blind tag team tournament deal randomly picked MJF and Adam Cole, randomly picked Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee as tag team partners. Okay. They'll be taking on Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. Britt Baker will be taking on Ruby Soho in the Owen Hart tournament. Kenny Omega will be taking on Wheeler Yuta. And MJF and Adam Cole will be in action. And we will hear from Jon Moxley. So that is what we have on tap for NXT and AEW. Ratings from this past week. Interesting numbers. Raw this past Monday did 1,977,000 viewers. That is kind of surprising. I know it was the go-home show, the Money in the Bank, but if everybody remembers last Monday, that was not a very good episode of Raw. I am shocked at how many people stood for the end. Totally shocked at that. NXT last week did 622. That is down from the week prior, 773, which was expected because Seth Rollins wrestled the week prior. Dynamite last week, concerning, 809,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior, is 902. No playoffs, no excuses. 809. Remember when we said that they're doing area code numbers? you know, that's they start getting into the sevens. That is major concern for Wednesdays. I don't think that they will. I think that they'll rebound. But, you know, concerning that Punk is back shows you how much damage that some people did. And they're trying to shift the blame to others. But they created some major damage over the last year. And what's worse about it is that even though they're not talking about it as much, nothing's been repaired. That's the worst part about it. Nothing's been repaired. So even though we have Punk back on TV, when you realize that a year later, nothing's been repaired, that's disappointing. New Japan last week did 65,000 viewers, up from the week prior, 61,000. Impact Wrestling last week, wow, they did 149,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 101. So they went up over 40%. Nobody's talking about it. Rampage this past Friday did 450,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 391. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,510,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 2,354,000. Collision, we don't have, obviously, Saturday's rating yet. It's a holiday. We'll probably get it on Wednesday. But last week they did 595, down 27% from their debut at 816. We covered that rating on Wednesday's Dynamite last week. So if you want to hear my discussion, it's right at the beginning of the show. And then last week's Stone Cold Takes on America, that did 200,000 viewers, which is pretty much on par what it normally gets. The week prior was 211. Steve Austin usually gets in the low twos for his show. And that is your episode for this week. So, without further ado, I'm going to get out of here. So, for my Patreon family, I will be live tomorrow at 10.05 p.m. I know it's the 4th of July holiday, but by 10 o'clock, I mean, the barbecues are over. You know, you got to get ready for work the next day. So I will be on Patreon live tomorrow. Kev has his show live Thursday at 10:15 p.m. on Patreon as well. As I said earlier, next Tuesday, Kev and I will be recording the next special of the DTKC show. We'll talk about SummerSlam. We'll talk a little WWE AEW. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to have an open forum with everyone invited. So how we do this, I'm not sure yet. I have a week to figure it out, but that will happen on the 25th of July. So you'll get a show with he and I next Tuesday, and then 2 weeks after we'll be doing a forum. So it's gonna be a lot more than just a Q&A. By the way, last week's Q&A episode is recorded. It's going to be released tomorrow for everyone. I want to thank all the channel members here on YouTube that contributed for that. The next Q&A will be open for everyone, like we rotate every other one. And as always, shout out to my awesome made men here. These are our VIPers that are channel members here on YouTube. I will announce the winner of the Money in the Bank predictions contest tomorrow. It'll be posted in the community section. And the Patreon predictions contest, that will be revealed tomorrow night live during the Patreon show. So that's pretty much it. So my friends, I hope you all who celebrate have a wonderful 4th of July. You know, post your feedback, post any follow-up questions you have from the show, post it in the comment section. As you see, I responded to a whole bunch from over the weekend. I will respond to more tonight. As the ambient kicks in, sometimes some of you know when I'm about to pass out because I start misspelling stuff, and sometimes the wording doesn't make whole total sense. You know, believe me, what was it, Roseanne that time that said that she was ambient tweeting? That is a real thing. That is a legit thing. If you take Ambien and it really hits you a certain night, you'll be half asleep and half awake, and you'll just type things and it won't make any sense at all. That's happened to me a couple of times. So I hope you all enjoy your holiday, who celebrates it. Stay safe, and much love, everybody. I'll be back on Patreon tomorrow, and if you're not part of our Patreon family, I'll be here online Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll cover NXT, we'll cover AEW, and then we have this weekend's shows. We'll see what goes down Friday. Remember, Edge is going to be back just in time for SummerSlam. Will we get Grayson Waller versus Edge at SummerSlam? There's a little bit of buzz that that might be the reason. I'm not sure. I mean, they're going to gradually bring Grayson Waller back into the ring. If you saw Money in the Bank, you saw he got a little physical with John Cena. That's just to start bringing him in slowly. Remember, we played the footage over the weekend. He revealed that he broke his leg in his last ever NXT match against Carmelo Hayes. Who knew? So when we were all wondering for the last couple of months, why is Grayson Waller just doing talking segments and not wrestling? He was recovering from a broken leg. No idea. Had no idea. So we'll see what goes on Friday. Madison Square Garden, you know it's going to be big. With SummerSlam coming and WWE trying to make every event have some type of financial success or statistic attached to it, you know big shit is going to go down on Friday. And then let's not forget, you know, AEW, you know, puts on pretty good shows as well. Maybe not on that level, but still, you know, enough that I think, you know, people enjoy, you know, certain aspects of it. So looks like to be a fun week ahead. And you got Impact Wrestling. You know, it's a shame that they don't get a little bit more attention. And, you know, the lack of attention towards Trinity, I'll continue to say it. It's kind of mind-boggling. You know, people were so amped and pumped and everybody was talking about it. Now she's doing stuff in Impact and nobody talks about it. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. I'll catch you all again soon and you'll be well. Happy 4th for those who celebrate it. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.